Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Strothers Wars. I am Eric Strothers, and I do love Steel Wars. And in each episode, I find a Patreon supporter to talk about it with. In this episode, I talk to Dom Legaspi. You probably don't recognize that name at all, or at least the last name. It's because Steel always mispronounces it, typically as Legaspi. I guess I shouldn't say always. That's not 100% accurate. It's 90% accurate, though. Anyway, regardless, Dom has some awesome moments from the Steel Wars catalog to share with us, so let's get into it. So, Dom Legaspi, one of my favorite things is listening to Steel, like, maul your last name. It's even after he gets it, the next time he can't remember what it is. It's like kryptonite to him.
I think I've had my name pronounced maybe like 5 different ways. And that's fine, you know. I'm finding it hilarious too, so it's all good.
You're just part of like the big club, man. Just when I did the like kind of what originated this thing, where I had done the fan appreciation pod for him at the end of last year, he had my name spelled wrong in the descriptions, and I'm like, yes, that's gonna live on forever, and everybody'll see it. But whatever. How did you first get into Star Wars?
Oh, I mean, it's one of those things. So I was born in 75, probably among, you know, guys like you and I are probably among the older Steel Wars demographic. But, you know, I don't really remember a time where I wasn't into it. Like, you know, born in 75, movie comes out in 77, you know, I was too young to remember whether or not I saw Star Wars in the theater. But, you know, definitely I remember seeing Empire in the theater. And, you know, I mean, I have like old Christmas lists from like after Return of the Jedi came out, where it's just like, I want Return of the Jedi this and I want Return of the Jedi that. And like,
sure, man.
I still have my old Tauntaun with the rubber stomach so you can stuff Luke in there.
Yeah.
And I've got like, I've got Hoth Luke and Hoth Han, but like, Hoth Luke is missing his head because I played with my toys and they were, you know, they're like the Velveteen Rabbit. They're like very well loved.
Right.
And so whenever if I ever want to recreate the scene where he's going in the Tauntaun, like I always have to start with Luke's head already in the Tauntaun because his head's gone. And so you'll never know the difference when you look at the picture.
Oh man, I wish I had my toys from when I was little, but, well, that sort of leads me to the next thing is, when did you first discover Steel Wars?
Okay, so when I first started getting into Star Wars podcasts, I mean, I was listening to, I was really only aware of one at first, and, you know, it's a bigger, more well-known one that I don't really want to say the name because they're not well thought of anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you know, and Steel used to guest on there, and they would do like you know, Rebel. They would talk about episodes of Rebels, and so I always kind of was like, oh, okay, this Steel guy, you know, he's kind of funny, and you know, but I never really you know, because of my schedule, I never really sought out any other podcasts, and so it was like people was like, oh, yeah, there's, you know, you should check out Full of Sith, or you should check out, you know, Now This Is Podcasting, stuff like that. And I was like, I don't have time for another podcast, right? And when these guys kind of fell out of favor, you know, I sort of was like, all right, well, let me see what else is out there. And they had kind of actually, you know, I was getting off the train a little bit before a lot of other people did. And so I was like, all right, let me you know, I was in the Facebook group, and that got converted to the Star Wars Podcast Alliance. So I was learning about a lot more new shows, and so I was checking them out, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll check out Full of Sith. And you know, Tyler Westhouse was talking about how he had been on Steel Wars, and he had been on the Remembrance, the call-in show for Carrie Fisher, and I was like, oh yeah, Tyler's a cool dude, you know, and so I'll check this out, and you know, I remember Steel from the other show, and I'll check it out. So I'm thinking like, okay, up until then, my impression of Steel is he's this funny guy, total wisecracker, and, you know, total fanboy. And, you know, I'm like, all right, download the episode, and I'm working on my, working on resealing my shower that day. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll throw on some podcasts and see what's going on. And I turn it on, and I don't know what I should have been expecting from a comedian doing a tribute to a passed away actress, but it was, you know, like I was instantly hooked. I was like, okay, what I've thought about, you know, what I thought about this guy is that it's he's so much more than just, you know, the jokester. So he's taking calls about, you know, everybody's sharing the memories, and you know, Tyler's talking about Carrie's work for mental illness, and you know, there was a couple times where Steele's voice was cracking, and I mean, like, he was very emotional, and I was like, this guy is a genuine guy.
Carrie Fisher has been an inspiration to me for a large portion of my life, not just because of her work in Star Wars, but you touched on it on your intro, her work for mental health, for people with bipolar disorder, with addictions. I'm somebody who struggled with bipolar disorder and extreme spouts of depression in my life. I've had periods where I was suicidal. I've had periods where I thought, this is the end, I just can't deal with it. But Carrie Fisher was always a celebrity that I could look to and realize, this is somebody who I admire and I've admired since I was a child. And she's a champion for people with mental health issues. And I think that's something that a lot of people are touching on today when they're remembering her, is that she wasn't just an actress, she wasn't just a comedian. She was a champion for the disenfranchised mentally who really need support, and to a lot of people, they're ignored. But Carrie Fisher never ignored them, and I'm always going to appreciate her for that, as well as for her work in Star Wars. But the mental health stuff, that's really number one for me when what I'm going to remember about her.
Yeah, and I've learned, you know, just through my podcasting over the years, we've done some work with Beyond Blue, which is a mental health organization, fundraising organization in Australia. Just by bringing that up on the podcast, how many people have reached out to me, like that it's sort of a relief that it's kind of out there and not this bizarre hidden taboo. And, you know, to have someone who is brave and honest enough and as famous as Carrie Fisher to sort of bear all and, you know, do it in a very poignant and often very hilarious manner, you know, that sort of good work, like it is untold lives. I guarantee untold lives have continued because of Carrie Fisher. If Carrie can get through with it, then, you know, maybe I can try too. Much like yourself, Tyler, we talked about this on the last call-in show with Saf. So we were, you know, it didn't come out of the blue, but, you know, I did really hold out hope for that moment at Celebration when she would walk back out and... and we'd give her that standing ovation. So it sucks, but I try to just be inspired, and you know, I'm not a big person for New Year's resolutions and it's just a calendar and stuff, but I am definitely going into the new year, you know, maybe to live more like Carrie and be, you know, funnier and more open and braver than maybe I previously had.
The intro playing Leia's theme, and I was just like, this is a very, very nice touch. Very nice touch. Like, so you can, you know, just everything I got out of that show was, you know, that show told me everything I needed to know about Steel. This is my new podcast, my new Star Wars podcast. Like, just based purely on that one episode. And after that, it just kind of, you know, steamrolled into things like, you know, now I'm buying merch, and I'm subscribing to Patreon, and I'm traveling down, you know, 400 or 500 miles each way to go to live shows. And
did you go to both of them that he did?
Yeah, so far I have been to both the live shows since he moved back. Moved to LA.
Right.
So the first one with Jenny and Chris, and then the one he did a couple months ago with Kyle.
Tell me about the one with Jenny and Chris, man. I know since that was your first real taste of it. What were your thoughts on it?
Oh, man. You know, it was first off because we, you know, a lot of us all kind of interact online and, you know, the Safe Haven you know, Twitter is, you know, bananas, right? It was great to finally meet a lot of these people in person. So, you know, I walked into the comic shop and the first person I saw was Brittany, and, you know, and we'd already kind of talked a little bit, and it was just like, you know, hey, and there wasn't any, like, there wasn't any awkwardness. It was just like, you know, hey, we've been friends for a long time. And then, you know, to meet people like Rashad and Justin, and, you know, obviously to meet Steele and to meet the lovely Juklin, that was awesome. You know, meet Stephen Stanton, Jason and Amanda. I mean, it was great. It was almost like a little high school reunion for the Safe Haven in a way.
Man, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And you know, the show was amazing. I mean, you know, Steel came out and did his stand up thing, and, you know, before the actual show started, and the show itself, Steel's interviewing is top notch. Jenny Nicholson, oh man, I mean, like, she gave Steel all he could handle, held her own, you know, from a comedy standpoint. She's very dry. But, you know, I love that. And she had me in stitches.
I was almost in tears so many times listening to it. She's so funny.
Jenny, you probably saw it a little bit later on because you're younger than Chris, I hope.
I saw it when it came out opening weekend. 77, good year. And I was like, this is going to be big. No, I can't remember the first time that I ever watched it, because I think it's just like your parents show it to you when you're so young. I guess my first clear memory of watching all of them through was like my cousins and I were up in the snow for like a snow trip, and the Hoth parts seemed very apt. So that's what hooked us in that time, I think.
That would have been like a 4-day experience.
No, we just watched them all in one day. Oh, your crazy accent was deceiving me. Oh. But yeah, we could smell the tauntauns and stuff like that.
That's great, Jenny. Annunciation.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. It's a little racist. Yeah.
Wow. Jennifer, what is your favorite scene?
I was just imagining like the alternate song for that scene he described, and just imagining that it was like this extremely crappy xylophone song. He's just like, yeah, John Williams originally wrote a different score for that scene, and you pull it up and it's just like, murr, 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 murr. Like he tried his best. The forgotten works of the great. Anyway, my favorite scene from all of Star Wars or the original trilogy?
Oh, no, anything with Star Wars on it. You can bring up your favorite Ezra scene if you'd like.
No, it's definitely episode 3. I like when Mace Windu confronts Palpatine and then melts his face. I like the performance from Palpatine when he's getting his face melted. And he's just like, and it's he's shooting lightning, face is melting, everyone's screaming. It's a good scene. The best. Yeah.
It's fun to watch rewinding as well.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll watch it backwards, then forwards again.
Yeah.
Every speed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because when you rewind it, it's like a really good like Pantene commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You just like gets like a real clear skin.
His skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Perfect. Rewind time. A great moisturizer.
I so want to watch it now. I'm thinking, yes, he's wrinkly. He is wrinkly. It's like when you get like a, you know, when you're in the bath for too long and your fingers always go like that.
I mean, his starting point wasn't like ideal for a beauty commercial. I'm not trying to slam Ian McDermott. He doesn't have a Maybelline campaign is all that I'm saying.
But yeah, when you're in the bathtub for too long and it wrinkles, I always think I've got like five little emperors on my hand.
That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, it is.
Are you saying you turn wrinkly when you're wet? Not normal.
It is if you're Australian.
Oh, okay. With sounds like some weird thing you guys would do.
Oh, God, it was so good. And I really was extremely jealous that all you guys, you know, got to go there. But, like, super stoked for you and super stoked for Steel, you know, to be doing a live show where, you know, I'm sure when he's back in Melbourne, it's easy. Everybody knows who he is, you know. But it's funny to hear Jason talk about it because the same thing for me. I thought when he had the picture of the comic shop with the huge Steel Wars advertisement in it, I thought it was real, you know?
Oh my God, that was such a good Photoshop. It looked so real. And I got there because I flew down just for this. So, you know, I got an Airbnb. I rented somebody's room in their apartment for like, I don't know, some like $60. And they were a block and a half away from the club. So it was perfect. And I get down there and I'm like, all right, well, what am I going to do for, you know, I flew down in the morning just to get the cheap flight. And what am I going to do for, you know, 7 hours before the show? And so I'm walking around, I check out the shop and I'm like, the signage isn't there. I'm like, oh, okay, that's because it was so yeah, it was great. It was great.
Because I think, you know, I saw it on Twitter, and which is, I always use my phone. So it's not like I blew it, you know, zoomed way in and critiqued it every inch. I'm like, man, that's pretty sweet. They're really, really getting behind this thing. So good for him. Good for him. Oh, man. Yeah, well, hopefully one of these days I'll make it out there. So the Safe Haven people are so cool. I miss all those guys.
Yeah. Pretty much the only Facebooking I'm doing now is the Safe Haven. So I'm checking in there, you know, maybe once, twice a day. But, you know, that tells you, I mean, the community of people that, you know, we're all there for Star Wars. We're all there for Steel. And we're all there for each other. I mean, I've been in other groups where it's just like, oh God, I wish this guy wasn't in the group, you know? And I don't really notice anybody in the Safe Haven where, you know, you feel that way.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's funny how it all worked out. You know, I think Steel started it almost as just not as a joke, but a little bit of a tongue in cheek joke, you know, with the name and stuff. And it just really blossomed into something great, you know, and it's cool how, self-regulating it is, you know, everybody's on the same page and, you know, with very few exceptions, there's not been, you know, it's just a cool place to hang out and everybody's so great. And that's the thing. I wish we could get literally everybody together all at one time, you know, meeting tons of these people, like you mentioned the, you know, the Making Star Wars community. When I went to Celebration Orlando, I went by myself. I mean, with intent of meeting up with all these people, and I was staying with the dudes from the Star Wars Underworld, and, you know, we already had all these plans, but, you know, you don't really quote-unquote know anybody. And I was at the airport with Aaron Boyd, and we're like, man, we need something to do, and just at random, I'm like, man, I know Hawes is down here, and he had mentioned, you know, I'm worried I'm going to be all awkward around people in real life. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? We're stuck at the airport. You want to hang out? And he's like, yeah, I'll pick you up. And it was just like we'd known each other forever, you know? And so by the time, like, after meeting all these people and meeting Johnny in person and all this, we end up at the, you know, the Making Star Wars event, the live event that was at the restaurant. And you mentioned that in your list of episodes. I ran sound at that, and it was a lot. You know, there's a picture that Steele mentioned that one of his friends saw of, I'm just in the background, and the guy's like, yeah, that guy back there, he's not having any fun, because it was hard. The room was not set up for how we did it, but we still managed to do it. But you know, what were some of your best moments from that?
Well, you know, understanding that this may be sort of a family episode, I don't know. You know, the erotic fiction that Emily did, I mean, it was, oh God. You know, I can only imagine how it was to be in that room. But, you know, obviously what, you know, Mendo means to our little community, and, you know, to have Jason portraying Mendo and Maude portraying Mon Mothma and their erotic story, it was, I mean, I recently, you know, because I was prepping to do this, and so I recently re-listened to it, and I just, I mean, it got me dying of laughter the same way it did the first time I heard it.
So we thought, to close out the show, we're now in the AM, it's after hours. It is time for some erotic Director Krennic Mendo fan fiction. Now, this fan fiction was custom written by New York's own Emily Lynn, so give her a huge round of applause. Emily. The fan fiction is titled Caped Hearts, A Tale of Passion and Loss. Now, let's welcome...
We'll get wet! The woman laughed, the tinkling sound that was like music to his ears.
A little wetness never hurt anyone. Besides, you have that... Oh, I would actually say this. That marvelous cape to keep you dry.
And so they had gone for the cup of cap. Orson holding his cape above both of their heads, not minding for once if it was in less than misery condition.
Awesome. I'm Orson Krennic.
He said on the way.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Orson Krennic. I'm Mon Mothma.
What? Forbidden.
He glared at the sandy-haired
team. Oh, no, you! I got a sound effect in at the right time, and you talked over it.
It's not going to be the fire, is it?
Wait, we must talk.
She said despondently, tears glistening in her eyes.
Have we not waited long enough? You have consumed my thoughts for days.
He drew her close once again, pressing his hardness against her.
The lust I have for you, it's...
He searched for the word.
Immeasurable! Yes!
My love!
I should just say, in the released version, that line won't be in there, okay?
You guys will be. Just nice little touches like, you know, Mendo calling his own name in ecstasy. I mean, things like that. You know, and Emily's such a treasure. You know, in my own Steel Wars fandom journey, I hope that one day I can just be half the woman Emily Lind is.
Yeah, man, meeting her is very high on my list. That was a very, very fun party, man. It was very fun.
Yeah, I had you know, that wisecracker Jay Winkworth sent me a picture from there. He's like, hey, here I am, there's my beer, you know. I'm just like, I'm dying.
That was probably one of the high points of the entire trip was that event and then hanging out afterwards, you know. And it was, and it was later that night, it's on one of the blog pods, that everybody was trying to imitate Steel.
That was
grand. But
yeah, I remember listening to that. And you know, when we went to the live show, the first live show after the show, we all went with Steel across the street to the bar. And then, like, you know, after Steel had to go, there was still a group of, you know, I don't know, maybe 5-10 of us, and we're still just hanging out. And we hung out probably till like 10-11 o'clock. And you know, there was a little bit of that. I mean, Aaron Boyd was, you know, had a good little impression, but you know, it's we love the guy, right? And you know, we're trying to express that in many different ways.
right. That's the nice way to say it. But no, it's definitely out of love, man. He's a good dude. He's just a genuinely good dude. Speaking of party though, that kind of reminds me, one of the moments you had mentioned was of Katie McCourt, and that was like San Diego Comic-Con, one of those pods, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Fill me in on that.
So after it was one of the, you know, Comic-Con, they have all these parties or whatever. And I want to say that they were at like an IGN party or something like that. And the tastefully named Dominic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jones was there, and you know, I don't run into, historically I haven't run into a lot of Dominics. You know, when I run into one, it's sort of like, hey, but you know, it was Steel and Dom, and they're at the party, and then Katie comes up, and she is just, I mean, it's very evident. I don't remember whether she expresses it or not verbally, but it's very evident that she's already, she is just faded, you know, and she's right. Talking about how she's using Steel stickers as accessories to hold her clothes up, and you know, she's got stickers on her cleavage, and you know, she starts slurring and messing up his name. She's like, you know, Steel Saunders, and then later on she's like Steel Sanders, and
yeah,
it's like, okay, we can mess up a name like Steel Saunders. It's, you know, if he can mess up my name, it can happen to anybody, right?
So we're here talking Star Wars, which, like, literally I had no idea anybody was going to be here. I'm over the moon. I called in 3 times. I had to graduate college before I, you know, got involved with fandom. Because time, you know how it is?
I've heard about time.
Right? It's a concept.
It just keeps going.
It's a huge fourth dimensional concept. If you want more about it, I recommend watching Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. If you haven't yet seen it. But we're not here to plug Christopher Nolan's movies. We're here to plug San Diego Comic-Con, which we're at, kind of. We're at the extension.
So for people that are listening,
yes,
you're a listener of the podcast. You've called in to the call-in show.
I am.
And you came up and said, hey. And I was like, oh my God, Katie, how are you?
I'm wearing, so I have a 4 sticker across my leg. I have a Yup Dump sticker trying to keep up my dress right now. And I have a Snoke 36 between. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on a podcast. Can I say boobs on a podcast?
I think boobs are okay.
So I have a Your Snoke 36 sticker, my favorite sticker, between my boobs. So here we go. And I took a picture so you can see it on my Twitter. And I'm literally over the moon because I'm in front of Steel Saunders right now. And I'm on a rooftop. and there is Dominic in front of me. I'm literally over the moon. All right, so any Star Wars fan who has ever walked into a party thinking they're not going to see a Steel Sanders, and it sees Steel Sanders, the first thing out of the gate is like, yo, man, that's, I can't curse, freaking Steel Sanders. And so we had a conversation, and he gave me stickers, and now they're on my body.
You could just tell that she was the life of the party, man.
Yeah, that sounded like a good time. You know, she's super cool. I got to talk to her a couple of different times, and man, she's something else. And she's got quite a collection of lightsabers. She's like way into it. So, you know, obviously that speaks volumes to me. So, I instantly tried to start selling her one. You know who builds lightsabers? Me. But
you're my target market.
The yeah, exactly. Perfect. I lured you in. The stuff that revolves around the conventions, all of the blog pods and stuff, those always stick out to me. They're some of my favorites. Now, what are some of your favorite moments from those?
Oh yeah. So once I became a Patreon, you know, getting access to the entire back catalog, and I was just like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to go check out all these references that I haven't, you know, quite gotten yet as a new listener. And you know, I'm going through and I'm like, okay, well, I know I really like the blog pods, cause those were kind of like, I'd heard some of those, while I was current. And so I go back and I start listening to all the blog pods. And, you know, the one that really, see, the blog pods for me are winners because it really, you feel like you're there with him. And you know, I don't go to a lot of cons. I've never been to one, actually. So I don't go to any cons. How about that?
There you go.
and it's just like you're, you know, hey, here I am. I'm in the Uber. I'm, you know, you've got like, you know, oh yeah, you know, him and Juklin are, you know, trying to figure out, well, where do they turn? And, you know, stuff like Juklin's falling asleep next to him and you can just hear the sleep in their voices and, you know, or they're, listening to the guy snoring next to them and Steel goes up to try to get the audio of it. And
so if they don't show any footage, can you just, like, at the end of the panel, scream out a very exciting scene that we could have seen?
Yeah, yeah. I'll be like, oh, JJ, it'd be cool if you did that one scene where you...
And finish right. Just making sure everyone in here has it.
Now, if we accidentally skipped you, I am not coming back. Last chance for wristbands. Please show me that they're attached. Thank you, guys.
It's one of my favorite Denver songs, Last Chance for Wristbands.
Stay in line. Do not move. Make sure you have your wristband. You lose them, that is it.
Stay in line.
This means we don't have to stay in line.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were saying.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
These wristbands are confusing little minxes.
Yeah.
Juklin, just yes. Before you go.
Yes.
Describe.
But I'm coming back.
I know, but describe the scene to everyone at home.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Can you believe you're here doing this?
No. No. I mocked these people in a loving way. Now I am one of those people. I have people shining torches in my face and asking me to show my wristband. And I have a fold-out seat on the side of the road. It's very ordered chaos.
Picturesque, though. We're by the bay.
It's very picturesque. I feel slightly insane.
Love it. All right, so it's... It's 12:39 a.m. We're in under the tents in the Hall H line, and there's a guy next to us snoring so loudly.
There's more than one guy. There's at least five people snoring. Like, it can't even be real. It's like a cartoon.
So we're on this really nice soft grass, and... If you
into Game of Thrones or Walking Dead, you might be pretty sad tomorrow, because as far as I can tell, it was just Star Wars fans lined up.
Yeah. Oh, how can you tell?
It's by t-shirts and stuff.
Oh.
Although Dominic, who I was hanging around with today, he really likes Game of Thrones. He does a Game of Thrones podcast as well, so
I feel like it will cross over a lot.
I guess. Not for me.
You haven't watched either of those shows.
No. Well, the one thing that'll be interesting at the Game of Thrones thing is Gwendolyn Christie, who plays Captain Phasma in the new movie, The Silver Stormtrooper.
Oh.
So she'll be out. So, I just think that she's just going to, like, there'll just be a moderate ovation for everyone, and then her people will just go mental for.
But she hasn't even done anything yet. That's what I don't understand. That's the same with you buying toys for the movie that hasn't come out yet. I don't... That guy's snoring is so distracting. Like, she hasn't been in Star Wars yet. She might screw it up. Why are we cheering? Let's wait and see what happens and then cheer.
Well, we're still
like, we can give her a like.
We're still excited.
Hey, we can be excited. But I feel like let's all calm down.
Okay, well, when Gwendolyn Christie comes out in Game of Thrones, Jackie's going to be sitting up the front with her arms crossed. or tapping her watch going, we'll see.
Exactly. Time will tell, Gwendolyn. Time will tell. She has to prove herself before she gets a standing ovation.
She certainly does.
And they're just losing themselves with laughter and... you know, really, there's the one where Steele is, you know, acting out the thing with the finger puppets, you know, and singing the song while he's waiting for Jason, and you know, but really, it's really taking you on like the journey of the fan and doing stuff that A, you would do yourself, and B, you would want to do, you know, this is somebody you would want to experience that with. And so it's things like, you know, hey, I'm not supposed to be, I'm trying to get this exclusive, you know, at the con. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, security doesn't want to let me in. And so, you know, how am I going to get around that? Well, maybe I'll go in and I tell them I'm going to the bathroom, you know, but then, you know, I don't want them to kick me out once I'm done. And so in order to make it look like I belong, well, I'm just walking back and forth. And it's the kind of stuff that, like, the average Joe would totally do that themselves.
Right.
You know, like, I'll avoid the security attention and I'll walk back and forth just to make myself look like I'm part of the scene. I'm supposed to be here. And then all of a sudden when it's time to get in, he's in, you know, and he's got a leg up on the people who waited in line outside.
Any of the episodes that Jackie have been on, Jackie has been on, geez, why don't I speak English, they're some of my favorites, man. Any of the blog pods she's been on, and then the interview episode that he did with her, they're so great together, you know, and she's hilarious. I would love to meet her one day. It was at last year's San Diego Comic-Con where... they meet up and she says, "Where have you been? Look at you. You're a mess." You know,
because
he had just, it was right after Celebration. Wasn't it right after Celebration London?
Yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con was right after it, yeah. I think.
They were bang bang, like right after each other.
Yeah. And so I can tell you, man, just from experience that, well, at least for me, like in Orlando, I barely slept over the course of the whole 4 days. So I couldn't imagine trying to do like another convention immediately following it.
No, that would be horrendous. Like, you would have to get some kind of like vitamin C IV or something just to keep up.
For sure, man. For sure.
Yeah.
It's beat a guy up. That is for true. So the first clip that you mentioned, man, it's like you dive right in to a pretty major one, and it's when Robbo had called in to the call-in show when Brian Young was on, and tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I follow Brian on Twitter. I love Full of Sith, and I'm listening to this episode, and you know, I mean, I've heard Brian, you know, do his thing with explaining, you know, things like, you know, why Jar Jar is great and the prequels are great, and you know, with Brian, everything's great, right? And I know how he is on Twitter. I know how he is on Facebook and his show. And I'm listening to this, and I'm just like, oh my God! Like Robbo came in like a wrecking ball, and just, I mean, like usually Brian, you know, kind of wins the day a lot, and it was just so uncomfortable. You could tell that it was just like, this is, I agreed to do this, but this is not what I signed up for. and like, you know, you edit the show, and I'm sitting there doing the notes, and I'm like, oh my God. And Steele's just like, you know, he'll chime in just a little bit, but like for the most part, he's letting Robbo like run it, and it's just going on and on and on. And I'm like, oh, please, Steele, just like step in, just like put a stop to this, please, because it is so uncomfortable, but it is hilarious.
Now, Brian, I have to warn you, our next caller is a powerful Star Wars mind. It is Robbo. Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey,
all right. Well, you've called in with many a Star Wars grievance, so I can't wait for what you have for us and for Brian tonight.
I hate them all. The movies are terrible. Yeah,
that was easy.
Yeah, solve that problem, Brian. No, I mean, I've been listening to the whole show so far, and I'm kind of amazed by how many questions are coming out of Revenge of the Sith, because that, to me, kind of vindicates my position. That's the only Star Wars movie I walked out of thinking I did not like that. And but everybody else seems to like it, and people have all these questions, and then you talk about it for about like 15 minutes, and then they're fine with it. But I always forget, like, you always end up somewhere and it sounds really interesting and thought-provoking, and I don't remember where you started. So I thought...
I feel the same way.
I thought that to avoid that, I don't think you're doing it intentionally. I just think that I have a very short attention span, so which might be where some of my problems come from. So I thought just a different way of approaching this, of my grievance, is we're going to act it out. We're going to do some role-playing. Is that okay?
Sure.
Steele, I want you to play the part of Mace Windu and anyone else who needs to be there. All right?
I'm Mace Windu. In what scene is this?
We're going to start with the scene where Anakin talks to Palpatine and he finds out that he's a Sith Lord, and then he goes to Mace Windu and says, hey, this guy's a Sith Lord, and then they come back. And then there's the big betrayal and everything, right?
Can I look up the script? Is that how good I have to be?
You could. You don't have to read. We can paraphrase it. Just don't say anything that's, you know, because you as Mace Windu. Like, you don't have to
have
say
fun
the
with
party's
it.
Over. You can say your own horrible cliche. So, like, you know. Like, okay. So, and then, although Brian, I don't think you have to do the Palpatine voice. Because he's kind of like, he kind of switches back and forth. You could. I think that would really help, you know, for the, like the theater of the mind for the listener. And I'm going to be Anakin. And so you don't have to, if you don't remember, I don't remember exactly what they said. So correct me if I'm wrong. But I think the gist of it is he comes to Palpatine and I'm Anakin. I come to you. I'm upset because for some reason the Jedi Council won't let me on the council, but didn't declare me to be a master. Right. And
yeah.
I'm also upset. Chancellor Palpatine. I'm also upset because I'm having these dreams. I keep having these dreams and I have these dreams. My wife, she died in childbirth and my wife is hella pregnant right now, man. Like I'm freaking out. And just before we go any further, Chancellor, the last time I had a dream about somebody in my family dying, it really happened. It was my mom. I had a nightmare that she was suffering and dying, and I go back to find her, and she is at the brink of death, and she dies in my arms. I'm really freaking out here, man, and I don't feel like the Jedi are taking me seriously. And although we have barely talked, I feel like we shared that opera thing together, and you were really speaking to me. Like, help me out here. What should I do? What should I do, man?
Well,
I so want to hear Anakin say, remember it, that opera thing. That's a line I missed.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I was floored, man. I mean, I am not exaggerating. Because I didn't listen to it live. And as I'm going through it, I would love to have seen like the look on my face when it first started happening, and then just the downhill slide. And I gotta say, man, Brian was like such a pro about it. He was really cool about it. And I mean, Robbo, he wasn't being a complete nutbag or anything, but it was a lot to take on for anybody. So that is definitely one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, I mean, Brian was a really good sport. I don't know that he would ever do it again.
Right.
But yeah, it was definitely one of the, whenever I think of the show, I will always remember that one. Like, that one will always stand out.
It's definitely a different type of show, you know? It's extremely unique, and I think that's one of the things I like about it. It's yeah, really something. I mean, it's hard to explain the magic of it. You just have to just tell somebody to listen to it and you'll get it.
Well, you know, when you say, part of the magic, I mean, it really is, because, you know, when you listen to the show long enough, and it doesn't take that long to figure it out, Steel comes at it with, you know, the enthusiasm and love and exuberance for Star Wars that you can tell that flame kind of never went out from when he was a kid. And, you know, that really is, it adds to the genuine experience of listening to the show. I mean, he didn't get the best fanboy podcast award for nothing. I mean, that you can fool people only for so long if you're not legit. And then when he comes out and he's, asking Harrison Ford, what should I get, which one of us should get that I love you, and which one should I get I know in the wedding rings. I mean, like, that's not, that's not something that everybody would do. Like, that's just sort of like, hey, I'm a fan. I'm still internally, loving this just as much as I did when I was, in grade school. I'm of a certain age that I guess you could probably say that, going 400 or 500 miles to go to a podcast recording and getting Star Wars tattoos, that I'm probably, you could probably say I'm a good candidate for being in a midlife crisis. to hear that kind of stuff, it's just like, yeah, this guy gets it. And he's like, he speaks to like childhood Dom, like it just reminds me of how I was when I was a kid and how I felt about Star Wars and how much of it was my world,
Right. Yeah. I think that's what draws me to it so much, is he's in a unique position to be able to do kind of what any of us wish we could do if we had thought of it ourselves, and he is so into it. And I think that's one of the most important pieces of it, is just how into it he is and his enthusiasm for it. It's something else, man. And it's very infectious, I think, is the best word I can come up with.
Yes. Yes. Definitely infectious.
Well, Dom, I really appreciate you doing this, man. It's been super fun. And obviously there's just going to be more and more content pouring out. So hopefully there'll end up being so much, and we'll do so many episodes of this that you'll just come back around for another one.
Who knows? Maybe somebody will be on Struthers Wars saying, oh yeah, one of my favorite episodes was when Dom was on.
There you go, man. There you go. I bet that'll happen. I bet that, you've been a great contributor to the show. with all the questions for the Q&As and then calling in to the call-in shows, especially the abomination of one, you know, from San Diego Comic-Con. You've got a great presence in the community, man. It's really good.
Oh, thanks. I'm just trying to have fun and stay young and you know, I mean, Steel does so much for our minds and ears and spirits that, you know, it's literally like the least I could do to sort of try to give back in some way. Patreon is just, that's just a very small way, small token of appreciation. It's good stuff, man. I'm having a blast. It's never been this much fun to be a Star Wars fan, really.
I agree, man. Man, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Right on. And there it is, another episode of Strother's Wars. I should point out that the call-in show that I referred to as The Abomination was D23 and not San Diego Comic-Con this year. My mistake. Give it a listen. It was actually a really good show, but it was kind of crazy. Now, if you are a Patreon supporter and you would like to appear on an episode of Strother's Wars, comment on the post for this episode and I'll reach out. And if you're not a Patreon supporter yet, head over to patreon.com/steelwars and check it out. The bonus section with Robbo on the Brian Young call-in show, by itself, worth the $3. For sure, you're just going to have to trust me. Until next time, I am out of here. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.